And it's about to get good because Paul is about to let us in on a principle that explains why some of us are struggling with discouragement. And even though we pray about it, we don't seem to receive what we need from the Lord. Okay? So let's slow down and read this. Now he who supplies what? Talk to me. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What that verse means is not that God will just give you a harvest because you asked for it. What the verse says is that God supplies seed to the sower. And the question is not, is God able? The question is, are you a sower? Or have you allowed yourself to be lulled into a complacent, consumeristic Christianity that bears more resemblance to a kid making their Christmas list than a Christian who is serving Jesus Christ? Y'all like this message? I'm honestly shocked. I'm honestly shocked because a lot of people do get stuck at the level of what I need. You know, we get stuck. One lady last night I was preaching and she said, we get stuck in me mode. And it's just, you know, God bless me, help me, encourage me. And so while you're praying about those needs, they're not selfish. It's fine for you to bring those things before God. But the way he will respond to your need is to give you a seed. And that's confusing to us because we want God to give us a harvest. But God does not respond to our needs with a harvest. He responds to our need with a seed. So I have found it to be true, I wonder about you, that when I find myself in need, the best thing for me to do is to get out of me mode and to get into so mode. S-O-W, so mode. I know this is not an agricultural society, but if it were, we could see that seeding or sowing is a form of investment, and it is a process. How many times have I been discouraged and weary in my own soul, only to find that when I took 5 minutes to be a blessing to someone else, when I sowed what God gave me, it became what I needed. This is difficult because when you are in a season of need in your own life, the last thing you want to do is to sow into something else. Am I right about it? When you are out of energy, the last thing that you want to think about is anything other than you. But the only way for you to receive what you need is to give what you have. Can I prove it from Jesus? Give and it will be given to you. That's not a financial scripture. That's a scripture about anything. If you give what you have, God will give to you what was already inside of you, waiting to be sown in something that is bigger than you. And God help me for all the times that I got stuck in me mode. Bless me, 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 me. What about do, re, fa, sol, la, ti, do? No, just me, 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 me. None of the other ones. Do, re, mi, fa, sol. Do, re, mi, fa, sol. Do, re, mi. Do play the scale. Can you play the scale real quick? Do, re, mi, fa, sol. Okay, do it again. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Again. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Again. Do, re, mi, 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 fa, sol, mi, sol. Me, so, me, so. God said, I'm switching you from me, so, me, so. Because you have been so, so good to me. So, me, so. You saved me, so. You filled me so, you blessed me so, you gave me life so. Come on, I'm coming out of me mode. You made a way so. So he says, this is good, isn't it? This is rich. This is challenging. This is difficult. Because God responds to your need with a bigger need. All right? Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 14, he's like, let's go away and get some rest. And they're like, oh, good. I need some me time. Where is it again? I messed it up. I need some, I need some me time. All right? So they're going to get some me time with Jesus. John the Baptist just been beheaded. It's a rough time. Herod's going crazy, cutting heads off. And now the disciples need some rest. So Jesus is like, let's go and rest. When they get there, how many of y'all know this Bible story? They're like, oh, good, man. We need it. We really need it. This is going to be really helpful, Jesus. Wow, what wisdom you have. Because you know what we need. You hear our needs, Lord. So they get there, and they need rest, right? And guess what they run into when they get there? Needy people. So now we got the disciples who need rest, and the people who need healing, and Jesus who has no need as the go-between. But watch what he's about to do. He's about to meet the disciples' need with the needs of the people. And he does it by feeding their faith. Now, here's the shift. If you can receive it, this will be life-changing because he is about to take them from needers to feeders. He's about to take them from me to so, me to so. And the disciples turn to Jesus after he heals like number 953. There's 5,000 men, women, and children. It says that Jesus was healing everybody who needed healing. Nothing was too small. Nothing was too big. Nothing was intimidating. Nothing was inconsequential. And after he gets done teaching and healing and meeting every need, the disciples, look at verse 15, as evening approached, said to him, this is a remote place and it's already getting late, and so you need to send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. See how spiritual that sounds on the surface? Jesus, we are concerned about these precious sheep for which you came. The truth of it is, Peter was hungry. They didn't get to eat either. It wasn't like the disciples were in a place of plenty. And so sometimes when you are in a state of great need, you miss opportunities because you are too hungry and weak to see the potential to fulfill the need. Y'all don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm preaching good. Because we get in situations where, like, you know, Jesus is like, you know what would be cool? If we fed them. And the disciples are like, you know what would have been cool? If you would have told us ahead of time so we could have hired a catering company. Jesus is like, no, I'm DoorDash, Uber Eats, and a catering company all rolled into one. I am the Christ, the Son of the living. I am the bread of life. What you talking about? You don't have any bread. I am bread. I am presence. I am provision. I am your shepherd. I am enough. So anyway, they didn't know that yet. And Jesus needed to show them who he was. So he replied in verse 16, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, you will never know what you really have until God shows you a need that is bigger than you. And you will never know that God is able until he puts you in a situation where you are not. So he has orchestrated this opportunity. And I don't know what in your life is like that today. If I could guess, I would say that for some of us, it is a physical need. And for others, it occupies a different category of real estate in our life. It often takes the shape of a relational need, or a lot of times in my life, it's just not knowing what I need to do. And wave at me if you've got a situation right in front of you right now where the need seems to be more than the supply. Right? I'm praying for the people who didn't raise their hands because they have no place for God to show up. Amen. Raise your hand again if you've got a situation where the need seems to be greater than the supply. Here's what's about to happen. You are about to see yourself going from needer to feeder. We have always taught the text in Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus fed the multitudes. That's not exactly accurate. If you read the text, Jesus told the disciples, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. What happens next is one of the greatest revelations that you can ever receive. Because when they mention their limited supply, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was their answer. That was what was available to them. But God is able. But we do not have enough. But God is able. And see, this is when you get the opportunity to believe 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that God is able, when you are in a situation where you are not able. So this thing came alive for me. I always thought that Jesus fed the 5,000, but he didn't. Watch what he did. He enabled the disciples to feed the 5,000. So God said, I am putting you in a season where I'm going to give you what you need, but it is not just for you. It is not just for you to consume. It is not just for you to have a good feeling. It is not just for you to get a goosebump. It is for you to be a feeder, because I put you in the earth for my glory, and I gave you gifts for a purpose, and I gave you an assignment for the sake of my great name, and your supply is in your assignment. And when you bring me what little bit you have and put it in my capable hands, I know no need, for my hand created the earth and my word sustains the world, and I am God over the galaxies, and I am God of time and space, and I am God before you got here, and I will be God when you're gone, and I cannot be impeached, and I never will step down, because I see your need and I am your supply. And he said in verse 18, bring them here to me. It's not are you able, it's are you available. Are you? Because he gives seed to the sower. Are you a sower? I don't just mean money. Please stop thinking about this as a money thing. I know that that's how people use it, but that's not what the Bible means. Paul is using this opportunity to help them to see that in God's dictionary, sacrifice looks a lot different than in our dictionary. I was thanking a person who's been in the church with us, and I would say their name because they're actually in this worship experience, but they don't like a lot of, you know, trumpet blowing stuff. I'm washing the dishes. They're not like that. They don't care. They don't want to be known. They just want to sew. But I wrote them a letter the other day, and I had to start it over because I wrote down something. Thank you for all the sacrifices that you've made to make this church possible. Because here's the deal. People can come to this church and never give anything, and we still feed them. That's our job. That's my job. It's our job. If you pull up to the table, go back for seconds, burp, and walk off, we're still going to feed you next week. If you watch the sermon and then click off, or, you know, click over to something else, we'll still feed you. Every week. Every week we'll be here feeding. That's not the question. Do you really want to spend the rest of your life as a needer and not see what God could do through you if you brought him what you have to feed others? Because it will never be enough when you bring it to him. It'll start as a seed. Amen. And that's the contrast, seed and sacrifice. So when I was writing the note, I said, thank you for your sacrifices. And then I remembered, one time I told them that, and they said back to me, it's not a sacrifice. After all God has done for us, it's not a sacrifice. That really stuck with me, how they didn't see it as a sacrifice. Paul tells the church, he goes, I want you to have the opportunity to give to something bigger than you, to sow. He doesn't ever use the word sacrifice. He says, I want you to sow. See, sacrifice means you give something and it goes away. Sow means you give something and it gets bigger. They said it's not a sacrifice, it's a seed. When God gave his son as a sacrifice, Jesus was a seed. God sowed Jesus as the firstborn among many brethren so that we could become the children of God. It's not a sacrifice. God doesn't even want it when we think it's some sacrifice. He is God. And so to give to him is not a sacrifice, it's a privilege.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.